Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, where we go behind the scenes and talk to the creators of independent entertainment. I'm Jason Godby, and this is part two of our coverage of the NAB Show 2019. Just want to say a quick disclaimer again. We'll be talking to some of the exhibitors there and the brands. We are not endorsing any of these brands, and we're not sponsored by any of these brands. These interviews are meant to inform, not advertise. So, without further ado, let's go back to the NAB Show 2019. I'm here with Ray Thompson from Avid. Ray, people know of Avid's name. You guys have been around for a long time in terms of electronic. You guys are pioneers in electronic Avid. So, but for those people who don't know, give us a little background on Avid. What kind of typical shows, films that you guys have worked on?
Sure. Avid's been around for about 30 years now. In fact, this is our 30-year anniversary. Avid was the first company to bring a nonlinear editor to market. So we really took the world from analog to digital, right? And Avid was certainly one of the key creators of all of that technology. So the media composer is, you know, sort of the stalwart for Hollywood, right? So the first people to really adopt and use Avid because of the many benefits it brought was Hollywood. And so films today, even, that get edited on Avid would include everything from Game of Thrones to Avengers Endgame to everything in between. We also have a lot of customers in broadcast, a lot of customers in news, sports, who also use Avid Media Composer for editing, for quick turnaround of content, for distribution to social media, you know, OTT. So not only are we heavy in post, right, but we're also really heavy in news and sports. So along the lines, Avid has also purchased Pro Tools and DigiDesign. So years ago, Avid bought DigiDesign, which makes Pro Tools, which is the de facto standard when it comes to audio production. So think of audio editing as the same thing as, you know, video editing, in the sense that both of these applications are really stalwarts in the industry. Both have been around for a long time. And then more recently, Avid has Sibelius, which is a way to automate notation for music. And so those are really sort of the three main sort of front window type products that Avid has and have had out there for a long time.
So now you guys, one of the reasons I want to talk about this is because I think most people think of you guys as being the in-house post for big productions, you know, for the Avengers or something like that. But now you guys have this thing called Avid First,
yes,
which is more Avid the home game for more of like an indie consumer. So talk about that and like for the indie filmmaker, how can they use this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So Avid introduced the Avid First program probably a little over a year and change ago, I'd say. And the whole idea around the First program was to do just that, was to give people who are independent filmmakers, even students, the opportunity to download the tool sets that the pros use to be able to come proficient on those tool sets, so then they can better position themselves to hopefully coming out of school, you know, get a job with some of these big companies, Netflix, you know, Amazon, people like that, all the Hollywood studios, you name it, and get their hands dirty, if you will, with a very powerful, robust version of the application. So for example, there's Avid First, which is the basically a free download of Media Composer. Media Composer First gives you pretty full feature set. I mean, it's almost the whole kit and caboodle, really, for free. It gives you a nice set of video and audio tracks and all the features and functionality. I mean, so it's definitely a great way for someone who is not familiar with Avid to get familiar with the product. Avid, of course, is, like I said, the standard at the high end, but we're really trying to push further down market. And one of the keys to that, we think, is being able to give independents as well as students the opportunity to work with it for free. Then we rolled out Pro Tools First as well. So there's a free version of Pro Tools, so you can do audio editing as well. And of course, those two play very nicely together, Media Composer and Pro Tools. And again, the idea was give students and independents the opportunity to have the same tool sets that the pros use. If you listen to really anything on the radio, anything you're streaming, it's all being made on Pro Tools. And so again, de facto standard in the industry, it's a good one to learn. And then Sibelius is the last one that we offer for free as a download, which is a way to sort of automate notation. So for musicians who don't know how to necessarily read or write music, Sibelius allows you to basically do it automatically. It does it as you play the music. And so it's a really intuitive, amazing tool that again gets used by some of the biggest composers in the world. But at the same time, now anybody has access to those tool sets. So yeah, and we have well over a million people who have downloaded our software tool sets now.
What's the difference between, say, the first version and the, like, what are you guys keeping for the paid version, in other words? Like, what are the upgrade features?
Yeah, so some of the upgrade features for Media Composer, for example, would include support for, like, UHD. It would include more effects, more tracks, things like that. And then you get to the real high-end version, it's networking and being able to network across multiple different systems. So what's cool about that is as your needs grow, you start out as an independent, for example, editor, and then your shop begins to grow and you start adding more stations. Now you can actually start, you know, adding more features and functionality at a pretty low cost, right? And there's different packages that people can buy, right, on a monthly basis or an annual basis from a subscription perspective. And that's really how it all works for both Media Composer Pro Tools and Sibelius.
With the home version, like, what can you really edit with it? Like, can I do something, say, beyond a short film or beyond, like, a video? Can I do a feature with it, would you recommend? Or
I mean, it all depends on the feature you're doing. I think if you're an independent, yeah, of course. You know, there's a lot. Like I said, it's a very full-featured version of Media Composer. And I would say this about Media Composer. One of the things on the 30th anniversary we did was we redesigned the entire thing, man, including the user interface and a lot of work underneath the hood. We improved the engine itself, right? So what that did for users is it gives them a way to sort of customize the look and feel by persona, so that if you're just starting out and you're intimidating a little bit by looking at the interface, you can actually customize the interface so that you're only exposing the tool sets that you want to use at that time, right? So you can custom design that. And then there's a whole bunch of work that went on underneath the hood to make it more powerful, faster, more responsive. And then one of the other things that we're doing is we're constantly introducing, adding more formats and making it easy to sort of work with really any format that's out there. For a long time, you know, the other knock on Media Composer was it was really hard to work with because you had to be in an Avid-friendly format. And while that isn't 100% gone away, we've definitely done a lot to add a lot more formats and make it easier to sort of link to whatever is living out there. So regardless of what content you have, it's easy to work with it now, and it's getting easier all the time. So it's pretty exciting.
And for this, is it compatible for both Mac and PC?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It runs on both Windows and Mac. In fact, one of the announcements we actually just made was the fact that we can now edit ProRes RAW files on Media Composer on Windows, which is a big deal. And then Apple announced that you can actually edit DNX, which is an Avid flavor, RAW, on all the Apple formats now. So that was actually something we just announced at IBC back in September.
Fantastic. And for people who want to find this and download it, where can they find it?
You just go right to Avid.com and just go right to either the Media Composer page, Pro Tools page, or Sibelius page, and you'll see the first thing that pops up is download the first version for free. So please do it. It's a great experience.
I'm here with Steve Cooperman from Panasonic. Steve, how's it feel to be at NAB today?
Awesome. Thanks for coming here to our booth.
You guys have been really updating and innovating and doing a lot of great stuff, not only with the smaller Lumix stuff, but now you got this guy, the EVA. Tell me, this came out, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, the EVO One came out about 2 years ago. It's our 5.7K cinema camera. First came out, it was great for a lot of independent movies, commercials, Netflix content. It is Netflix approved at the 400 megabit profile, so you get episodics, a lot of corporate branding, so a lot of great usage of the EVA camera.
Have you guys updated it since it came out?
Yeah, well, when it first came out, everything was, obviously, we recorded on SD cards, 2K, 4K, but it's a 5.7K sensor, so that gives you great oversampled usage for your 4K recording on cards.
You're taking 5.7 and down-resing to 4K, in other words.
Essentially, it gives you nice video quality, but that sensor allowed us to do more. So some point last year, we offered the ability to record outboard to the Atomos recorder, the Inferno, and record in ProRes 2K, 4K, as well as 5.7K ProRes RAW. So that was something that started working last year, and so for those customers that need either one that higher resolution or a fast RAW type workflow, that was an excellent upgrade for them.
And you can, this has got, I think it's got a Canon mount on there, but you can also do a PL mount too?
So yeah, it comes standard with an EF mount, which gives you, you know, wide range of lenses, including the Canon guys you mentioned, as well as Sigma and other high quality lenses. But then Wooden Camera made an adapter for a PL mount, really quickly goes on and then opens you up to the world of PL glass.
And for someone like this, are indie people purchasing this outright, or DPs, or is this mainly going through rental houses and production companies?
Well, I'd say a little bit of both.
Okay.
But the one really good thing about this camera is because it gives you a lot of camera for just under $6,500. And because of the feature sets and the quality, including the, you know, a network or Netflix approval, you have the ability to shoot a lot of content. And then I know a lot of independent filmmakers who maybe they're shooting on projects or they're shooting corporate branding type things by day, but it has the quality to shoot at, you know, shoot your own independent and your own projects you want to do at night. And the other cool thing that I'm seeing more and more, and we got a controller here, one of the firmware upgrades we came out with last year allows it to be used in a live mode. So it allows you to use it with this Scarhoy controller, but it allows you to put together a low-cost studio camera with a cine look. So you got a $6,500 camera, roughly $2,500 controller, a few other things, depending on your lens, but it allows you to have a low-cost, high-quality, super 35mm studio cam for under $10,000, depending on your lens choice. So that's a really nice, awesome new thing. And unlike some cine-type cameras where maybe they don't have full connectivity, besides everything you could record internally on our SD cards, up to 400 megabit iframe, or externally to the Atomos Inferno and up to 5.7K RAW, it also has SDI output. Which doesn't seem like maybe a big deal, but you've got your 6G SDI output, so you could, you know, you can go live, you have HDMI, you have your LCD viewfinder. So it opens up a lot of workflow opportunities, depending if you're in live for corporate, enterprise, churches, multicam episodic, or single shooter independent movies or corporate branding. And
fantastic. Now, you also said you have this other guy here.
Yep.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
This is the CX350. Just started launching this or just started shipping this a couple of months ago. I feel perfectly well saying this is without question the best integrated lens handheld camera. No question. Or fixed lens. So this is a fixed lens, but it's a 1-inch sensor, 1-inch MOS sensor, 4K, shoots up to 4K 60p. The lens is lets you zoom at 20 optical. 20x optical in 4K is pretty amazing. Shoots SD, HD, 2K, 4K on SD cards. Essentially has the same frame rates and formats as the EVA camera, except for the 5.7K RAW.
Right.
But basically the same. Has an LCD, has a viewfinder, has SDI output, has HDMI output, and they all work simultaneously. And that's something that not all cameras have. You know, some cameras don't have enough processing power to handle it all. This handles it all. Has a slot for a little Wi-Fi stick, a USB to Wi-Fi. And what that allows you to do is connect to common IT devices, like my, you know, connect to my iPhone with the app so I can control the camera, or my iPad, or an Android device, as well as it has RTMP streaming and RTMPS streaming to be able to stream live from the camera to Facebook Live, YouTube, and those sort of devices, or your chosen social channels as another means of distribution. It also has NDI, Network Device Interface. That's a format that NewTek popularized with their TriCaster. So when you buy the license from NewTek, you could plug it into a TriCaster. And just like our PTZs, and Panasonic is the biggest PTZ manufacturer in the world, and a lot of these PTZs are NDI capable, this is the only camcorder that you could use in NDI out of the box with the license. So it allows you to have traditional broadcast type shooting, you know, single camera content type creation, streaming, like I mentioned, to your social channels like YouTube and Facebook, as well as NDI for a live AV type workflow.
It looks like a really great run and gun camera. Like everything's in there. You plug a microphone right in it and go.
And it comes standard with the built-in mic here as well, or you could plug in the additional microphone of your choice. And it has optical image stabilization. And we have some other handhelds, and frankly, there's some other cameras on the market that have optical image stabilization. But what's awesome about this is it has hybrid optical image stabilization, and it has 5 points. So beyond just kind of panning a little up and down or side to side, when you're holding it, just straight handheld, it compensates for literal movements of the camera up and down, side to side, and rotating, which is pretty awesome.
Do people normally go through like something like this and like the, are they going through rental houses? Or are they going direct to you guys?
Well, I mean, some rental house for the EVA or for the CX350. Some rental houses have it. We have a large channel of resellers, including, you know, here in New York and nationwide. Obviously, we have a Panasonic sales team.
Right.
Go to our website as well, www.us.panasonic.com/broadcast. I think also na.panasonic.com.
We'll hopefully be back next year, and you guys will have more stuff for us.
Thanks
so much, Steve. I'm here with Michael Artsis from Be Terrific. Michael, for those of us who don't know, tell us a little bit about Be Terrific and what you guys do.
So we have two verticals. The first vertical is Be Terrific, where we're an OTT, an over-the-top network. We do streaming, original programming, and content, and we create a lot of really great programs. We're here at NAB streaming live. We're a partner of the show. We are an official media partner of CES and a lot of other shows. We do some really great stuff. So on the tech side, we do the OTT stuff for others, like Universal Pictures and Microsoft. And then we do video walls, projection mapping, digital and interactive signage, and digital cast boards for Broadway, where stage managers can change the cast board from their phone, which is really innovative. So here we've got our very first video wall product called the Agility Quadricept. And it's different than regular LED video walls in many ways. It's thinner, it's lighter, it's one piece, it's not made up of several modules. So you don't have to worry about gaps. It's also flexible in multiple directions at one time. It's water resistant to IP65 and weatherproof, and it's very easy to assemble. It's built modularly, and it's just a piece of sheet metal, and it magnetizes to a piece of sheet metal. That makes it a lot more affordable and easier to work with.
Where are these typically being used in terms of, like, on set, or like if you were an indie filmmaker or indie series creator, how would you use something like this?
So there are several ways. The first way that's the most easiest to imagine is you can replicate somebody's really wealthy person's house or a bar or a TV set, and you can have, or wherever you'd have video walls, a mall. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That's easy to imagine. Number two is another easy to imagine thing. If you don't want to do a composite for a driving shot or a flying shot, you can wrap this around the car or the plane or whatever and put the road behind you, which makes life easier in post and more effective in post. And then there are a lot of other ways you can use it, but you can also use it for lighting. Now you think, well, we've got plenty of lighting, plenty of LED lighting. We don't necessarily need something that might be more expensive, but you can use this in places you can't get light necessarily because of its size. And you can specifically do things like, let's say you put it in a car where it's tight and it's hard to get a light. You can put it in a car and you could do effects like, let's say, flames going up on an actor or actress's face, which are going to be more realistic from this because you're actually going to be playing video. And we've done some tests with that and it works really good. So I think that that's a really good use case for this that you wouldn't traditionally think of. Again, you can do that with an effect light. A lot of people feel this works better, but beyond that, you can't necessarily get that effect light in a car in a tight spot where this could sit right underneath the actor, actress very easily.
For people who want to use this or are interested in this, where can they find you guys? Usually through rental houses? Do you deal with production companies directly? Do they come to you directly? How's it work?
So there are two ways to find us. Number one, you can go to beterrific.com or beterrific.tech. Also will be available at B&H very shortly, and it's really, really exciting.
I'm here with Gunter Neusner from Arri, and he's going to tell me about this beautiful boy right here. What do we have here?
So we have here the Alexa Mini LF, which is basically a large format. We call it large format camera because the sensor is larger than full frame. And again, it's a new camera that started to ship a couple of weeks ago. There's a few in the country already, and more are to come. And obviously, it's the little sister of the Alexa LF. The Alexa LF that came out about a year ago is larger, bigger, does more things, has more frame rates, that is physically smaller. And also, we redesigned the viewfinder completely. This is a complete redesign of the MVF1. Okay, this is the MVF2. Is this not going here? So, with a few menu changes, this is the classic Alexa Mini or Alexa menu where you have soft buttons on the outside and you have a very fast way of changing settings. There's a new viewfinder cable. This is Coax Express, which is also new. In the future, we will have only these type of cables. The viewfinder will be also used for future generation cameras. It's a 4-inch LCD and an OLED. Internally here, they can be used at the same time.
What I've heard is that with this new cable, you can actually switch out the viewfinder while the camera is still running. You don't have to reboot the camera. Is that true?
Well, yes. Like you said, I'm hot plugging it here.
Fantastic.
I haven't really tried to record something.
I've heard it saves time on the set. Also, you guys have added some new user buttons on the side here. Are those programmable, that where you can create new functions for them?
Yes, so we did a couple of changes to the Alexa Mini, because the Alexa Mini, when it came out, we thought about it as a B or C camera, and ergonomics were secondary. You know, now over the last few years, customers were telling us all the things that were wrong with the Mini, so we have kind of looked into this more carefully. You know, we moved the recording slot from behind the camera to the side, you know, so it's much, much quicker to access. We added more user buttons, we added lock buttons, we added an additional Wi-Fi antenna. So the form factor is pretty much the same of the Alexa Mini with all these improvements. New viewfinder, an LPL mount, which is now a new lens mount that was developed with the Alexa LF, which is larger in diameter and also has a much closer flange focal distance. It's a 44 millimeter flange focal distance. And back when we introduced the Alexa LF, we also announced new large format lenses, the Aries Signature Primes, which are super lightweight, out of magnesium, lenses that have a removable net holder at the back end, magnetic, that you can create certain effects if you want. And these are kind of a whole system, large format system. The lenses can obviously be used with other cameras as well if you use an LPL mount. And there are third-party companies that make LPL mounts for the Red, for the Sony, etc. So you can use LPL on other cameras.
And in terms of like media, what kind of, you guys have your own proprietary media, or can I shoot out to like an SSD drive or something like that?
No, you cannot shoot to an SSD drive. The media is a Codex Compact drive media, and I have one here. Give me 1 second. And so this is the 1 terabyte drive that can be used to record up to 40 frames in OpenGate, which is 4.5K.
Do you want me to hold that for you?
No, it's okay. So I'll show it. It just goes in here. One slot, one door, and we can actually try to record now something and see if it actually stops recording when I unplug the cable. Recording now. And it continues to record. Let's see. And I see it does still record. Even after I unplugged this, it came back on, it's coming on, and it's still recording, and it's recording.
For the most part, what is this, like, what kind of productions are using this? Like, is it, are you seeing on commercials, feature films?
This is kind of a camera that will be used everywhere. For commercials, for features, for television shows. Obviously, large format is a new thing for cinema. It has a larger sensor, so you have also much, much more shallow depth of field. You know, you have a bigger separation of objects in space, and it has a visually different image. And that's kind of, I think it's here not to replace Super 35, but it's here to kind of be another option for DPs that kind of have only shot with Super 35 this far.
So if I'm used to shooting in Super 35, like say I'm a DP, and Super 35 has been my thing, what kind of changes do I have to make in either my shooting style, or what kind of, do I have to change the way I frame? Do I have to change the way I compose? Is there a whole sort of large format method of thinking now?
Well, obviously, you have a bigger sensor. There's more surface there, right? So if you think about Super 35 and you're used to a field of view of specific lenses. You know, when you're picking a 50 millimeter lens, you know, and your object is a certain distance, you kind of already know from experience how big that space is. If you're now switching to large format, you have to use a longer lens to get to that same field of view, right? It's a 1.5 ratio roughly. So let's say a 50 millimeter lens in Super 35, to recreate this in large format, you need a 75 millimeter large format lens to create that same field of view.
You know? It's like for going from full frame to a crop sensor on a DSLR or from Super 35 to a Micro Four Thirds kind of thing. You're going to get less focal length out of your lens, but you're going to get shallower depth of field and more resolution. And is it more dynamic range as well? Do you get more stops out of this?
No. Dynamic range is always a camera function, and there is also 14 and a half stops of dynamic range in the Mini LF. It has the same sensitivity. The base sensitivity is 800 ISO, but you have twice the amount of pixels here. Right? So we have, instead of the same sensor that we have in the Alexa Mini or the Mira, here, think about it, twice the amount of photo sites that are there on a much larger surface, a 4.5K horizontal resolution.
Where are people finding this more? I'm guessing it's mostly rental houses and things like that.
Well, there's a lot of owner-operators that are buying these cameras, but obviously all the rental houses are also buying it. So you will find it in rentals and also owner-operators. But again, right now there's a very limited amount of cameras, and we're rolling them out as they are being built. So there's more of this coming.
If people want to find out more about this, more about Arri, what your selection of products is, where can they find you guys on the web?
Our website is arri.com, ARRI.com. Over there you should be able to see all the links, cameras, lenses, camera accessories. Go there and there should be a subscription link, all the way at the bottom of some of these pages where you can subscribe, and whenever there's news, we send them to you.
And that's all from the NAB Show 2019. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, you can find them on our website, norestoftheweekendpodcast.com. You can also find us on all your favorite podcast apps. And now we're on Patreon, so you can find us on patreon.com/norestoftheweekend. Once again, wanted to thank everyone who had a chance to chat with me at the NAB Show. And for Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.